listening to Law and Gospel on this May the 21st in the year of our Lord 2015, and being a Thursday, it's Ruminations Thursday, and therefore with us we like to have a pastor, and right now we have one who speaks in tongues, Wes Reimnitz.
Yeah, I speak in several tongues.
Yes, even when we're not on the air, all of a sudden a voice comes through.
So, I thought you would like that this morning.
Well, in the middle of the other stuff that was going on? So, KFUO, worldwide, we send missionaries all over the world, but there is an article about the Southern Baptist Convention is going to admit missionary candidates who speak in tongues, a practice associated with normally Pentecostal and charismatic churches. And this reverses a policy that actually was put in place 10 years ago. Why did they do that, Wes?
Well, they thought that it would be a way for their churches to get excited and rejuvenate their churches a little bit.
Yes. In fact, what they're looking at is in Africa, Asia, and South America, where Southern Baptists are competing for converts, there's a growing strength of Pentecostal churches. And so here's what Bill Leonard, professor of church history at one of the Baptist schools, said. In so many parts of the world, these charismatic experiences are normative. Religious groups that oppose them get left behind evangelistically. Now, I find that just fascinating that they think that they need to do false teaching in order to keep more people in their denomination.
Right, because really, how does one get the Holy Spirit?
Yes. You see, the Holy Spirit does not come through tongue speaking. You know, and what's so amazing that this comes out during Sunday's what?
Pentecostal.
Yes.
Yeah, Pentecost coming up. That's right.
And when it says they spoke in tongues, what did that mean?
Well, they spoke in known languages across the way that... Because even the crowd said, how is it that they speak our language?
Yes, and this is really important to understand. I can't find one place in the Bible where glossolalia, or speaking in tongues, ever refers to an unknown language.
Yes, there's a tongue speaking that's talked about in Corinthians, but it's not given the high rise that we give it today.
Yes. The fact of the matter is that this idea of somebody speaking in tongues and not knowing what he is saying, remember, in this view, you need to have an interpreter, because sometimes the very person speaking in tongues, and of course, every time I hear the interpretation, there's no backup of it in Scripture, unless it says something like Jesus is Lord or bless God or something like that. But a lot of times there's information that is supposedly coming from this tongue speaking that is not found in the Bible.
Right. And that's why I sent to you also a lot of the comments. The comments are all over the map and nothing to do with the Scriptures.
Yes, I think that's really important to understand that for a long time, for Southern Baptists anyway, this was a lightning rod that got top billing on the application form. If someone said they did pray in tongues, they were automatically disqualified, said Wayne Burleson, who is an Enid, Oklahoma pastor who opposes the ban.
Well, you know, it raised red flags at the seminaries if the guys put it down on their applications that they spoke in tongues. We had a few of them going through when I was at the seminary.
Yeah, the other item that they did is they allowed now divorced missionaries to serve in more positions, including long-term missions assignments. So, boy, you can really see how the church is starting to fall down and following the world. And when you follow the world, then you're not following the only means that God has given us, and that is word and sacrament. We're going to go to the phone lines right now. And hello, is this Pastor Neuer?
It is. I would like to speak with you guys in tongues, if I may. Sabah al-khair ya ahibbay, and I'm batlub min kutkunu mabsutin. Now, did you guys benefit anything from that?
Yes, because I speak Arabic.
Yeah, you bet you do. I have not heard you yet. You know what amazes me at these? I've been listening to your conversation.
Yes.
Number one, it is so sad that they think of it as a competition.
Yes.
Where in the world does it say for the disciples by Christ's own word, go and compete so you can get more members? He says, go and make disciples, period. End of discussion. You do it through means, right? Teaching
yes.
and baptizing. That's number one. Number two, to be a deceiver, you are working as an antichrist. Because remember, the Apostle Peter tells us to do everything in love. There's
yes.
no love motivation here. This is all personal for gaining numbers rather than letting them see Jesus as the only way to heaven. It makes me so sad and so sick to realize that there are those who claim to be, quote-unquote, followers of Jesus, but dishonor him with the facts.
Well said. Thank you very much for calling.
You bet.
God bless.
Likewise.
And that was Brother Neuer, St. Neuer, who is also a vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. But what would you say about his comments? Because obviously you would disagree with him, Wes.
Well, he summed up everything we were going to talk about for the next 20 minutes.
That's right. We got nothing else to talk about. He finished it. But no, that was some... This idea of competition. And this is what I said in the promo... You know, that you're going to be absolutely astonished why they're doing it. And they say it right out, is that they need to compete, as Pastor Neuer said. And they don't want to have to compete. You know, this reminds me, poor Luther. Remember, I made the point with Mark Smith on Tuesday that the Reformation, from one point of view, was a really total disaster.
Hmm.
And the reason I was saying that is the largest Protestant denomination in the world are Lutherans, 80 million. But the largest Christian denomination in the world is Roman Catholics.
Catholic.
1 billion. They're 10 times more than Lutherans. So using the Southern Baptist strategy, Luther should have said, well, you know, I'm going to correct a couple of things, but I'm sure not going to correct purgatory or Mariology or the idea that we're saved by faith plus works. Because if I do that, we're going to lose a lot of people. They're not going to join our church.
Mm.
See, so if you have the competitive mood, then you're going to keep all those things, because the old Adam loves them. The old Adam loves the ability to say, I saved myself, partly.
And I think that's where we heard Pastor Neuer said he's just despicable. He hates that deception that goes on there.
Yes, and I think that's a very good understanding, the deception. Now, they're trying to back off a little bit on it. For example, one of the things they said is that if there's any missionary who places persistent emphasis on any specific gift of the Spirit as normative for all, or to the extent such emphasis becomes disruptive, then they will end their employment.
Well, how does it, I guess a part of me says, how is it not disruptive even to begin with if they started?
Well said. You see, once more, they're looking at it from a human point of view. They're saying if it becomes disruptive in the church, well, if you go to a Roman Catholic church, the doctrine of Mariology isn't disruptive at all. But it sure is disruptive in the heavenlies. Jesus is at the right hand of God, and now people are praying to a woman who's still in the grave in order to get to Jesus. How do you think that makes Jesus feel about these people, and especially these priests who teach this nonsense?
Right. And but, you know, back to Neuer, I think another point that he made that was really good is the gospel. you know, the word is the power. The spirit works through the word.
Yes, because he said you'd be working as an antichrist. That was his exact words.
Words, yes.
And what that means is a false Christ. And so to give the impression to someone that this speaking in tongues, which is an unknown language in their view, when you take a look, in fact, one of the best passages to look at is the passage in, 1 Corinthians 13, speaking in tongues.
Right, 1 Corinthians 13, we call it the chapter of love.
Yes, and if you go through that, and every time you see the word tongues, to change it to known foreign languages, and it works out perfectly. In fact, that's why he started speaking as he did, because that was a known foreign language, but it didn't help me at all, because I don't know that language. Did you understand what he was saying?
I figured it had to be Palestinian of some sort.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, let's go back to the phone lines right now, and let's speak to Ron. Ron, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Baker. Ron from Church of the Reformation.
Excellent. And then Wes Reimnitz is on with me.
One of your favorites from Church of the Reformation Bible study.
Oh, I have two of them there, so I'm glad you're one of them.
No, I'm the one that got all the answers wrong.
I know, I remember. No, anyway, I love people like you.
When I was a child, my dad's mom was Pentecost, and she took me to church with her, and they started speaking in tongues, and it just scared the bejeebers out of me to the point that I was crawling under the chairs.
Really?
Yes, and the other thing that really kind of got me as years went by was the fact that I never did. I was like, well, is there something wrong with me?
Yes.
I could not speak in tongues.
Yep. Yes, see, that's what happens. It's kind of like any religion that says, you know, you're a Christian if you're doing a lot of good works. And the more you analyze yourself, you see how sinful you are, and you wonder if you're a Christian.
Right. And, you know, I was like, well, there must be something wrong with me because I never spoke in tongues.
That is amazing. One of the law gospel things that C.F.W. Walther talks about, if you ever talk about, say, the gifts of the Holy Spirit or something along those lines, it must apply to all Christians at all times and all circumstances. So every Christian does have love of Christ in their heart. They have love for other people, but they don't have the ability to speak in an unknown angelic language that they themselves don't understand. And that causes doubt as to whether or not a person is saved.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
And anybody else can call us. Our numbers are 821-0850. That's in St. Louis. 821-0850 or toll free 1-800-730-2727. Now, Wes, Ron brought up another point, is that when you get into a church and you don't have what people are saying you need to have to be saved, then you wonder if you're saved.
That's right. One of the reasons that I enjoyed listening to him is on my mother's side of the family, her father's side, of course, were Reformed, but they used to make fun of the tongue-speaking churches and viewed it as entertainment value. So, and that was back in the 1910s, 1920s, 1930s, that they were making fun of that stuff going on. And it seems like this stuff crops up every 30, 40 years. We saw it back in the 1970s.
Yes, we had a problem with that. And in fact, one of the great hosts that was Issues Etc., Don Matzit, actually was a charismatic, teaching people how to speak in tongues for 16 years over here in South St. Louis, Messiah Lutheran. He came to an understanding that that was wrong. And he was one of the best individuals to speak with in regard to this heretical kind of item. You can phone us here, St. Louis, 821-0850. Toll-free 1-800-730-2727.
But I think, you know, Ron's statement brings us back to the gospel and what Noor was talking about, you know, the Antichrist. It takes away from the gospel message.
That is absolutely correct. Occasionally I want to attend other churches or other denominations, and I've done that. I remember, I think it was about 3 years ago, there's a tongue-speaking charismatic church right near Northwest Plaza here in St. Louis, Missouri. And so I went in there one morning, and I, you know, kind of sit at the back, don't really participate, obviously. And they had one lady that they were really working on to try and get her to speak in tongues so that she could have the assurance that she also was saved. And so they kept urging and urging, and finally she started saying what I consider to be gibberish, and everybody was very happy because now she had the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not once, and of course they had a woman pastor, which didn't surprise me either, not once was the cross of Jesus Christ spoken up. Not once was the forgiveness of sins mentioned. But instead it was all, look at what we can experience in order that we can have the assurance that we are saved. And it was just really sad to see many of these people being blindly led by a shepherd that was really a wolf.
Right. Well, that brings up the very basic question. How are we, or what is that assurance that we have that we are saved?
Yes, and how would you answer it?
I would say we're saved by faith through grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I believe, I trust in the promises, and those promises are there at the cross and empty tomb of what Christ has done for us. It's back to that gospel message.
On Tuesday, I have a Bible study at Emmanuel Lutheran Olivet, 9733 Boulevard, Olive Boulevard, and anybody could attend. It's 11 a.m. And last week, we talked about the Heidelberg Disputation, and the point we were making, which they found really fascinating, is that actively, the unbeliever only can do deadly works. The only way he's saved is passively, he receives salvation.
And that faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of Christ.
That's right. And, of course, the biggest passive thing that you can ever achieve is none other than holy baptism. Let's go talk to Anna, who's in St. Louis. Hi, Anna. You're on the air.
Hi. I had a question, pastors. In 1 Corinthians 13:1, they're saying, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Does anybody know how that's interpreted there in the original languages or anything? Because what I was thinking of is if when they're talking other places about speaking in tongues and it's understanding your language, like in Acts, each understood the gospel in their own language, then would this be some other tongue on which the Pentecostals are, participating in tongues? Because it doesn't say, though I speak in foreign languages so everyone can understand me, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. So I'll hang up and listen and see what you say because I don't understand. That seems like there's a difference there.
Yes, the point I was making is if you go through particularly some of these chapters, and every time you see the word tongue, change it into known languages. Remember, even the language of angels, the one I can remember is Gabriel speaking to Mary. That was the language of angels, which would have been Aramaic at that point. So the point he's making is this. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, now that's very important to understand that therefore those are known foreign languages and have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a changing cymbal. The word love there is what? To be in obedience to the will of God. And that wasn't happening at that charismatic church I attended. These people were not showing proper love. They were instead trying to get people to do something so that they could have some kind of assurance that they were saved. Wes, do you have any comments?
I think that's well said. I think your point about known languages, when it comes to the scriptures, when the angels did speak to men, especially Gabriel, it was in a known language.
Yes, and we even have the angel of the Lord speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai. And that's the language of an angel, namely Jesus Christ himself, and Moses understood that. Let's go talk to Jan in Atlanta. Hi, Jan, you're on the air.
Hi, excuse me. You know, I come to this discussion late, but I remember somebody told me that a text without a context is a pretext. And I'd like your help with a couple of different passages. Acts 11.
The whole chapter?
No. Acts 11, starting with verse 44 through 48.
Okay.
And the other passage I was thinking about was...
Acts 11 only has 30 verses.
I'm sorry, I'm wrong. Acts 10.
Oh, Acts 10, okay.
Yeah, please forgive me.
No.
Okay, well,
of course,
that,
we only forgive you if you do a sin. You didn't sin, so I'm not forgiving you.
Okay.
Let's do that one because we're almost out of time here. Let me read it. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And that would be much like what happened at Pentecost, by the way. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, he says they received the Holy Spirit just as we have. And when you take a look as to how they received the Holy Spirit in regard to the speaking in tongues, they were speaking known foreign languages. In fact, if you go back to Acts, it even tells, you know, the language of the Cretans and so forth, and the Arabs, etc. So I would have no problem saying that that speaking in tongue was known foreign languages.
Yeah, and you know, Paul makes the point in 1 Corinthians that he speaks more tongues than any of them, but he would rather speak 10 words in an intelligible language.
That's right.
We are trying to spread the gospel. We're not trying to impress anybody.
Yeah, just like Pastor Neuer began by speaking in a language that neither Wes or I understood. It was still a known foreign language, and those who understood that would have known it. But, you know, on the cross, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews," was written in three languages. So people, a lot of those, and Paul was a Roman, so he knew Latin, he knew Hebrew, he knew Aramaic, and he knew Greek.
Right.
So... And that was much more than most people who would have known maybe Aramaic and maybe Hebrew. But we have to let you go because we're at the end of our time. But Wes, any comments?
Well, Jesus himself in John 6, "The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." It is the word that brings us to faith. It is the Holy Spirit who works through the word.
And the word needs to be something. For example, I did a test where I had to have five languages known. I don't speak fluently those five languages, but I can read them. But if I got up in a congregation and instead of doing the reading from the English translation, read from the Greek, there'd be a couple of people like you and others who would know what I'm reading, but most of the congregation would have no idea.
Right, it has to be in something that they can understand. And Paul brings, as Jan was pointing out, Paul brings that out in 1 Corinthians, to speak in a language that everybody can understand.
Because if you don't speak in a language, they don't understand. In fact, a point that became more and more clear to me, the Confessions of the Lutheran Church, especially that done by Melanchthon, which is the apology or the defense of the Augsburg Confession, he basically goes through and gives definitions of words from the Bible, which I think is just really, remember, theology is the art of making
distinction.
Yes. And so, well, this looked like a pretty good topic that you found for us.
Oh, my gosh. We got a lot of calls, didn't we?
Did we?
Yeah.
Did anybody call? Well, I can't remember. Okay, they were all speaking in tongues, so. No, that's what we're here. And, of course, tomorrow is Open Mic Friday, so we can continue our conversation on this topic, or we can talk about what we were dealing with on Wednesday about how atheists think. And, of course, we're coming up to Pentecost, so if any of you have any questions on Pentecost, I'm preaching at Emmanuel Olivet on Saturday at 5 o'clock, and then Sunday at 8 in the morning and 10:30 in the morning, and we're going to be talking about, of course, Pentecost. So, what's your schedule coming up in the future here, Wes?
I'm preaching at some of the churches in our Lincoln Circuit.
Lincoln Circuit is a portion of...
of the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Okie doke. Well, thanks so very much. We'll look forward to maybe talking to you again next week, God willing. I'm Tom Baker. Open Mic Friday tomorrow, and go to longgospel101.com. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.